I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Now it's time for our Wisdom Watch. That's the part of the program where we talk to people who have made a difference through their work, people who have wisdom to share. Today we hear from one of the most influential media executives who many people have never heard of. Monica Lozano has spent her entire career working for newspapers that fly off the shelves in some neighborhoods but are bypassed in others because they can't read them, because they are in Spanish. Monica Lozano is the CEO of Impromedia. It's this country's largest print and online Hispanic news company. She's also the CEO of La Opinión, the largest circulation Spanish language daily newspaper in the country. And she's with us now in our Washington, D.C. studio. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Michelle. It's great to be here.
La Opinión was started by your grandfather.
It was. It was started in 1926 on September 16th, which is Mexican Independence Day, and he deliberately chose that date because in his mind, the paper's role was to really be the voice of the Mexican immigrant community in the United States. And he founded it under a slogan, Diario Popular Independiente. In other words, independent, popular, and a daily. His vision was that La Opinión would serve as an independent voice for all the people who found themselves on this side of the border. And as you know, back then, media in Mexico was very ideological. It was aligned with different political parties. And it was important for him to establish the newspaper as a credible, legitimate, independent voice for a migrant community. And over 85 years, we've tried to stay very true to that mission, which is what guides our work even today.
Your family has kind of traveled the arc of our conversation around immigration in this century or the last century. I mean, your grandfather starting a business here in 1926 to your becoming a CEO sitting astride a large business sort of empire. And yet at the same time, we are engaging in, we've had some very intense debates about immigrants who come from your family's original country of origin and whether they you know, belong here and want to be here and will fit in here. And I'm wondering, are we at a watershed moment or do you have a moment of, do you think that this too shall pass or, you know, 10 years from now, are we still going to be talking about this?
Our family represents so many millions of other families, maybe not in the exact same way, but the aspiration of coming here and not having anything and having a dream and being able to sustain that and to work hard and to pass it on to the next generation and then from that generation to the next. And ours was around La Opinión and this media company, but it happens every single day. And that's what we need to recognize, that the reason why people come is not to take but to give. And the contributions that are being made by whether it's our family that has been able to employ, you know, so many thousands and thousands of people over the year and to give them the opportunity to buy a house and get their kids into college. And, you know, that entrepreneurship is really the driving force of this community. And so I would say that's the story. And too often our point of view is misdirected, looking at the negatives of this experience as opposed to the positives.
How are you addressing this whole question now with, you know, of course, immigration is once again a front burner issue for many people. It's just evoking a lot of very intense debates in many places, Arizona just being one. But one of the issues here is this whole question of acculturation. People are saying these are people who are continuing to hold themselves apart, who are not assimilating, not embracing the American culture. And there are those who would argue that Spanish language media, even if it provides a valuable service for people who are newly arrived, there are some who say, well, it provides another shelter for people to avoid completely integrating into the culture. You've heard this argument, and I'm wondering, what do you make of it?
Well, I think it's interesting because precisely what you say is sort of the common misconception of Spanish language media, that we are, in fact, isolationist, that what Spanish language media does is, in fact, maintain you within a certain enclave. And our feeling and the way that we approach our content is that we, in fact, are a tool for integration. And what I mean by that is that immigrant integration, which right now is the way we think about this as opposed to assimilation or acculturation, you have a large group of people that come, and they come with the aspiration that they are going to make a better life for themselves, benefit their families, give back to the country that is given to them. And the tools that they need to be able to do that is primarily information. How do you do certain things? How do I make sure, though I aspire for my kids to go to college, and if you see the most recent, there's a Univision AP poll that's out right now, more than 80% of all Hispanic adults saying their number one priority is for their kids to go to college. The thing that keeps them back is not knowing how. So what are the steps that I take to make sure that my kids are prepared for college? What is it that I need to do to ensure that they have financial aid and affordability isn't the barrier to college going?
I take it, but why do you think that that perception exists?
I think it's because people don't know, don't understand, are not familiar with the content that we provide. And so if you had an opportunity to interact with it, which is one of the reasons why we've made the decision that we have to go bilingual. So, for example, all of our editorials are published bilingually because if we have a statement, we want to make sure that it reaches the broadest audience possible. But so much of our work is around entrepreneurship and how do you start a new business and how do you access capital and where do you find the financing. And we do that in the area of small businesses and home ownership and education and healthcare. Our mission is very much about both informing, educating, and empowering. Those are the three pillars of our mission.
Give me an example, though, of a story that you think that your outlets would cover that perhaps other media would not or have not.
I'm not sure that I would say outlets that have not covered. So I've got a very good friend that works at the LA Times, and she often says to me, when I read your paper, it's like we were in two different cities. Because what we cover is very much about how do public policies, how are decisions impacting a particular community. We'll go into neighborhoods that may not be covered by other media and try to understand what are the quality of life issues and what about public safety and what about, you know, the healthcare environment, et cetera. So it's really looking at how people are impacted by the news of every day.
Recently, a columnist at one of your papers, El Diario La Prensa in New York, was arrested for spying for Russia and has since been deported. I have to say this is something that headline I never would have thought I would have seen associated with El Diario La Prensa, which is known for a number of other things, like tough coverage of the New York scene and so forth. But did you have any inkling about this? And did any of her colleagues have a clue?
We had no idea. And, of course, had we known, the woman would... I mean, what do you mean, had we known? She was a spy. So we had absolutely no idea. And
but you think there was something interesting or odd about her work behavior? Was there anything that...
Well, I never worked with her. And we've gone back and we did an analysis and we asked ourselves, was there a failure of any kind in terms of oversight of people in the newsroom, et cetera? And we agreed that there was not. And we've gone back and we've checked every single accusation. None of it is true. The woman was a spy. We had no idea that she wasn't operating. And she was actually found. The charge against her was being an unregistered foreign agent. The story is that her husband was in fact the spy, posing as a Uruguayan immigrant, was in fact Russian, and because they had been married and because they had children, she left the country with him when they conducted the spy swap. No, who knew? Mm. Who knew? So the only
it's
point I want
weird,
to make,
it?
It's, you know, it's 2012 and you had no idea that this was still going on and, you know, that's the world that we live in. But
I would love to have known when you got that phone call, what were you like? Can you even repeat in a family setting what you said when you got that phone call?
No,
that must have been interesting.
No. So listen, the only thing that I want to reiterate, and of course you know this, is that we reaffirm our commitment to the journalistic standards and the integrity and the high quality of our work. And, you know, in no way, shape, or form do we feel that we violated that. But in fact, just want to reiterate that we have a complete commitment to transparency and to those standards.
Does anybody say you didn't?
Some people do.
Why?
Because she was working in a news outlet.
Okay. There have been spies who are working for the FBI.
True.
I mean, Robert Hansen, the best known and the most damaging spy in recent history, is working for the FBI.
So the most important thing that we can do is say, one, we knew nothing, shocked and surprised, just as we're all Americans, and in no way, shape, or form do we feel that it influenced any of our coverage or that we let down our audience in any way.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Monica Lozano. She's the CEO of the largest print and online Hispanic news company, Impermedia. She's here with us in our Washington, D.C. studios. How are you also addressing the whole language question? And that your media outlets are all Spanish language to this point. They're Spanish language primary. How about the second and third generation for whom English is their primary language? Like, for example, do your kids read La Opinión?
They don't read La Opinión, but they read online content.
In Spanish?
Yes. And so what you see with young people is that, in fact, they may be born in this country, but they have recovered their sense of culture, their sense of identity. They use language as a way of saying, this is who I am, and they're embracing their multilingualism, multiculturalism in a way that maybe we didn't back in our generation as young people. Back then, it seemed as if you had to make a choice. You were either one or the other. Now you've got kids, and especially because our school systems are made up of, you know, people from so many different countries and so many different languages, that the sense of otherness really doesn't exist, at least among the young people that we see in our urban centers.
So you think there's still a future for Spanish language media, even with the second and third generation who use English, I would assume, predominantly in their daily lives?
Oh, sure. I mean, you don't operate for 80-some years, having gone through all of the cycles of immigration, ebb and flow, and assimilation and acculturation. And, you know, our sense is that it's about relevant content. And we are moving. We haven't done it as aggressively yet, but we're not afraid of it, and we're prepared to do it. We're to move into platforms that allow us to disseminate both English and Spanish language content.
You are one of the highest profile women in American media. I just think it's fair to say, in terms of the sitting atop of a business empire that serves a particular market, it's very dominant in that market. But I think it's fair to say a lot of people don't know you. I mean, people in the business world know you, but I mean, I'm just saying in terms of being a media figure that a lot of English speakers would know, like people would know Katie Couric or they'd know Barbara Walters. And I know you're not an on-camera talent in the sense of that, but you are a major American woman in business, like a Kathy Black, or they'd know sort of Oprah as a publisher. Does that bother you?
My number one responsibility is to the company that I run, and to make sure that we're running it well and that we've identified pillars of growth and that we're driving revenue and that we're increasing our audience and we're making sure that our advertisers are able to connect effectively with those audiences. So I really am focused internally. I used to do a lot more sort of outreach and external relations. It doesn't bother me that I'm not well known outside of the world that I run unless it inhibits my ability to grow the company. And so I put everything through that prism. It's not about me. It's about the company that I run. And if people are familiar with our brands and they associate those brands with high quality content and the ability to connect with a growing Hispanic market, then I've done my job.
Is there any way in which being a woman, do you think, has affected the way you've gone about doing your job?
Absolutely.
Tell me.
Well, because the CEO position is relatively new. I was named CEO in March of this year, even though I've been running La Opinión as its CEO and publisher prior to that. But my approach, and everybody that works with me knows this, I am very collaborative, and I believe in building teams, and I want to make sure that everybody understands where we're going and that we all have the same general sense of vision and that we're moving the company collectively in that direction. It's not authoritative, it's not top-down, it's not I say, you do. And I think that style of management, as you and I both know, is very much associated with the way women run things.
When you first started, though, in the business, working in the business, it was a family-owned company, but nevertheless, it was still a very male-dominated business, both in the newsroom and on the business side. And I'm just curious about whether you have any interesting stories about that.
Well, I've been there for over 25 years. And so, yes, I came in not just as the daughter of the owner, but one of the first women in the newsroom. And absolutely, those were the days when, you know, men had pictures of women all over their cubicles and, you know, they would take long lunches and you would come in and it was just, you know, an entirely different atmosphere and attitude. And the women in the newsroom, when I came in, because I came in a position as managing editor, the women in the newsroom immediately asked for a meeting, can we talk to you? And, you know, lo and behold, they felt harassed and uncomfortable in that environment. But it wasn't until there was a woman in a leadership position that they felt that they actually had an outlet where their voice not only would be heard, but we actually could do something about changing the culture in that newsroom.
But, you know, I got to tell you, that's still friendship, not necessarily your outlets, but and also some of it, I'm talking about the broadcast side. There still are a number of Spanish language media outlets where, you know, women who are dressed a lot less, well, how can we put it? Not your standard business attire, let us say, you know, the suit behind the desk kind of thing, short skirts, tight dresses, a lot of, you know, are still very prominent in the pages. And I'm just like, what's up with that? What's up with that?
Well, I don't know. You know, I can't tell you. I mean, there's it's like entertainment, right? So you find very serious media outlets that would never do that, and you find others that say, okay, well, you know, what sells? And so, you know, there's the TMZ approach to entertainment news. So that's, I think, kind of it.
Before we let you go, do you have any wisdom to share?
Wisdom to share.
Yeah, if you were talking to somebody, a younger you, or if you could talk to yourself, if you could go back and talk to yourself 20 years ago, what wisdom would you share?
You know, so I always say, one, you know, follow your passion and do what it is that you are most compelled to do, because life is too short to not do things that you absolutely love doing. And the other thing is around both perseverance but also determination. And you know, a lot of people ask, you know, well, so how did you get to the top? Well, you don't start at the top. You work your way up. And, you know, constantly just demanding more of yourself, making sure that you're working at the very highest level, and making sure that your reputation is intact as you move along the path of life. Because at the end of the day, that's what you carry with you. And that's what people will remember about you. So just make sure along the way that you're working hard. When people turn around and say, you know, that woman is really good, I can depend on her, that's what you want them to say about you. You know, strong values, highly ethical, smart decision-making, you know, philosophy. That's what's important.
Mónica Lozano is the CEO of Impremedia, a Spanish media network that includes 13 print publications, 14 online sites with a monthly audience of 11 million people, if I have that right. She was kind enough to stop by our Washington, D.C. studios on a visit to Washington. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michelle. Very much appreciated it.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.